Have you ever noticed that sometimes people just have a really different perspective? I mean, for some people, life could be as good as life could possibly be, and it would be their worst day. I mean, they could go ahead and win the largest lottery known to man, and they would tell you that things just aren't going their way, right? Anybody ever know anybody like that? I mean, they get a new house, they get the great promotion, life looks wonderful from the outside, and no matter how wonderful it might look, on the inside, they are just miserable. Then we can go ahead and flip that over. We all know some people who are the eternal optimist. No matter what seems to be going on around them, no matter what the circumstances seem to be, they always find a way to go ahead and say, wow, life is great, life is just awesome, and it couldn't be any better. Sometimes in life, we just need a different perspective. Today, maybe the reality is maybe your life is a little bit of a struggle. Maybe some circumstances are getting the best of you, and they're getting you down. The things from the outside are taking a toll on the heart on the inside. And maybe we don't necessarily need a change of circumstances. Maybe we don't even need a change of scenery. Maybe we need a different perspective. I love the story of the parents who had twin boys. The twin boys had such differences in their personalities that the parents couldn't honestly figure it out. So they said, you know what, we've got one who is the pessimist. And no matter what we do, no matter what we give him, no matter what we provide for him, it's never right, it's never good enough. And then we've got this one that's an optimist, and no matter how bad it is, it's just always wonderful. He seems to find the good in it. In fact, when there's nothing good in it, he can go ahead and make something good out of it. They said, we've got to do something to try and get him balanced in life. So they took him to a psychologist, and the psychologist said, well, here's what I want you to do. On the next birthday, I want you to go ahead and get the one that just seems to be negative. I want you to go ahead and just give him the nicest toys that you can afford to get him, and get him exactly what he asks for and exactly what he wants. I want you to go ahead and observe him opening those gifts and make some notes and bring them back. And then he said, I want you to go ahead and give your optimists the biggest box that you can find, and I want you to fill it with manure. And I want you to go ahead, take some notes, and bring it back to me. So the birthday comes, and the parents are filled with anticipation, and they're wondering what the pessimist is going to do. And they got him his toys that he wanted and all the things that he had asked for, and they even threw in a few bonuses. And as he's opening up these things, he says, oh, man, that remote control car, that's not the color that I wanted. And wow, this Lego set, they got it all wrong. And he's just miserable, one by one, unpacking these gifts. So they go back over, and they tell the other boy with the big box that's waiting right there. They say, go ahead and open up your gift. So he takes the lid off of that box, and immediately the smell begins to come out, and he looks and he begins to laugh and giggle. And here's what he said. He said, you can't fool me with all this manure. There's got to be a pony in here somewhere. You know what? Some of us today have life that's wonderful and good. We're getting more than what we asked for. We're getting more than what we need. But we're still not feeling like there's much hope. And for some of us, life is handing us some circumstances that we might rather not handle. But we're able to see the invisible. We're able to see something a little bit different. Today, my hope is that you'll find hope, a different perspective. The Apostle Paul knew what it was like to be handed literally a box of manure in many situations. And to be able to go ahead and take a setting and situation like that and make the most and the best of it. In fact, he knew what it was like to be beaten. He knew what it was like to go ahead and be run out of town. He knew what it was like to literally have to sneak out of town so that he might escape with his own life. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to kind of have more than what he needed. But here's what Paul writes. Here's what Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians. Let's go ahead and take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to discover something that Paul says that helps us to go ahead and find hope in our situation in life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this. He says, therefore. What's the therefore? The there is for, because before it, he tells us about some difficult circumstances. He tells us about some hardships. He tells us what it's like to feel like you don't have a friend in the world. He tells us what it's like to go ahead and think you're doing a good thing and everybody else tell you that you're really doing nothing at all. He says, because of all those hardships, he says, we do not lose heart. You know, maybe there's somebody here today that just needs to hear these simple words. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. You know, your hope, the hope that can change you now and for all eternity, is not found in your circumstances. It's not found in the person that you're sitting next to. It's not discovered or developed in the home that you're living in or the car that you drive. It's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27 says, the hope in you. It's Jesus Christ, the hope in you. And he gives us the hope of heaven and hope for today. So Paul says, knowing that, don't let the discouragements of life cause you to lose heart. He says, even though our outward man is perishing or struggling, he says, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. He says, you know what? On the outside, it may look like we're getting the tar beat out of us. On the outside, it may look like we're headed for destruction. He said, but on the inside, hope is alive and hope is working on our behalf. So he says, don't lose heart. Then he continues. He says, for our light affliction. How many of you call being beaten with 39 stripes, being thrown into prison, and being left on your own? How many of you would go ahead and classify that as a light affliction? Yeah, we got a few that would say, yeah, that might be light. It might be worse. But for most of us, we would go ahead and say, you know what? That seems pretty severe. Do you know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying this. He says, by the grace of God, this hope is keeping me from what I really deserve. Do you ever just stop and think about that for just a moment? You see, Jesus gave his life so that you and I would be able to have the hope of heaven, so that we would know the forgiveness of sin. And Paul says, because I know Jesus and I have the forgiveness of sin, the struggles and the trials of this life are temporary at best. And he says, get this, they are light afflictions at the worst. It's not the end of anything. It's not something to be overwhelmed by and discouraged by and to let take over our life. He says, these are light afflictions. And then he says this, which is but for a moment. That's just a fancy way of saying these struggles are temporary. You see, some of the hurt that you're dealing with today, some of the struggle, some of the anger, maybe some of the resentment, the things that are going on around you, can I tell you something? They're temporary. They're but for a moment, according to Paul. Paul says these things that we're dealing with, they're light. They don't compare to something that is greater. He says it's but for a moment. And he says it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Think about that for just a minute. He says this temporary affliction, this struggle that's going on inside of us is working something greater in us. You see, we think the circumstances around us and outside of us, we think the struggles are just beating up on us, and we look and we say, wow, we can't handle any more of it, and I can't take any more. Paul says, let me go ahead and turn the tables. These light afflictions, they're light. He says the struggles that you would look at and say, wow, how do they deal with that? It's really not that big of a deal because they're temporary at best. Just temporary at best. And he says they're working in us an eternal weight of glory. And then he wraps it up. He says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul writes and says, sometimes we concentrate only on the things that we see, only on the things that we feel. But he says, you know what? There's something that's going on in us because of Jesus Christ that goes ahead and gives me a different perspective. This morning, we've got a brand new baby with us today, and the Collings are our new parents, and they are loving it. But through the pregnancy process, James didn't understand some of the pain that mom was going through. So she went out and she bought a simulator for contractions. Guys, I'm just telling you, it's a bad idea. There's some things you and I weren't meant to know. Not meant to understand. And to help him get a different perspective of what she was going through, she said, why don't you go ahead and put this on? So he lets her put it on. Poor guy. Pray for it. She doesn't start off at 1. On a scale of 1 to 15, she sets it for a 20. Full blown, full blast. A shock and a pain goes through his body, and he's like, turn it off, turn it off. She got to laughing like she's doing right now and couldn't turn it off. The pain just kept on taking place. But you know what? If we were to ask both of them today, was that pain and discomfort worth it? Yeah, you better believe it. Because there was something far greater being worked out and far greater being developed. And sometimes in my life, in your life, we go through some circumstances that might seem painful, and we go through some circumstances that we may not get and understand. And sometimes we go through some circumstances that cruel people inflict upon us, right? But here's the reality. Even when it's something that we can't control, and even when it's something that's just part of life, God is up to something greater. So what does Paul tell us about this concept of hope and having a different perspective? Here's what Paul tells us. The first thing is this. He just says, let's focus on seeing the invisible. He says, focus on seeing the invisible. In verse number 18, he tells us, look, we can see all kinds of things, but all these things that we see are temporary at best. So let's not get caught up in seeing what we can see. Let's learn to see the invisible. What's he saying? He's saying, let's learn to see the hand of God at work in our life. Does it ever occur to you that sometimes in the discomfort and the struggles of life, that when it seems like our life is at its worst, that very, very well could be the moment that God is at his best? When you look at Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, when you look at the pain that he endured, and you look at the suffering that he took for you and for me, we would look at those circumstances and we would say, wow, how bad could life be? And when it seems that life was at its worst at that moment, can I help you understand today that God was at his very best? God was not absent. God was not necessarily silent. God was not unaware of what was taking place. God was in absolute complete control, and God was moving and working and developing, and he was at his very best. And sometimes, because our circumstances are not what we had wanted, sometimes because the circumstances of our life is not what we signed up for, we look and we say, wow, what is God up to? What is God really doing? Does God even care? And Paul says, can I just tell you this? He says, while we do not look on the things which are seen, he says, how do we have this mindset? How do we have this hope? He says, we're able to see God's hand in everything. And because we can see God's hand in everything, we can see everything in God's hands. Today, whatever your circumstance might be, whatever the discomfort might be, whatever the struggle might be, God is bigger than your circumstances. God is bigger than your circumstances. He's bigger than the struggle at work. He's bigger than the struggle at home. He's bigger than the bank account, right? I mean, most of us would say, wow, I hope he's bigger than the bank account. God is bigger than your circumstances. He's bigger than your loss. He's bigger than your pain. You see, Paul says, look, I want to challenge your way of thinking. He says, I want to challenge the way you're viewing circumstances. He says, these circumstances are really not that big of a deal. He says, they're light afflictions when we compare them to what God is up to. Paul says, right here, it might be really uncomfortable and it might seem really bad. But he says, can I just tell you, there's coming a day when the eternal weight of glory is going to be revealed. We're going to see what God was up to, and we're going to experience all that God has to offer. So he says, while you're over here in these circumstances, and you don't feel like God is up to much, he says, I want to just help you see over here that there's coming another day. There's coming a brighter day, a better day, where we're going to understand that God was at work and God was up to something. He says, so until that time comes, don't just see the circumstances where you're at. Learn to see the invisible. He says, focus on the eternal things. Back in Numbers chapter 13, Moses and the people had been given a promise. Joshua and Caleb, 10 others, were sent out to go and spy out the land. The promised land. God said, I want to give you this land. He said, Moses, here's what we can do. We can go ahead and we can send a group ahead and just get a picture of it. So Moses sends 12 spies and they go out and here's what they come back with. They come back with a different perspective. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 30. Here's what Caleb says. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome. Joshua and Caleb said, man, God is on our side. Who cares about what we can see? We see the invisible. We see the promise of God. We see the presence of God. We see the hope of God because God keeps his word. But verse number 31, the narrative changes. It says this, but the men who had gone up with him said this, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Do you notice that Joshua and Caleb never said that they were stronger than the other people? They said that their God was greater than the circumstances, and they could see God. But immediately following that, all that the others could see was their weakness and their faults and their potential failures and how they were not big enough and strong enough, how they were not fortified enough. They couldn't potentially go in and possess the promise of God. And what happened? They begin to go ahead and view themselves in this way. We read down a little further. It says, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. How did it devour any inhabitants? They went there and they came back. They weren't devoured. It says, and all the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature. It says, there we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. It says, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You know, Numbers 13, we see a picture of what we tend to do when we see our circumstances. You see, Paul writes, and he says, here's the secret to holding on to hope. It's taking a different perspective, because many people are Christ followers and they have Christ in their heart and they have that relationship, but we forget the hope doesn't come from circumstances. It doesn't come from what's going on around us. It comes from what's real on the inside of us. The hope for your life and the hope for my life, regardless of the circumstances, the same. It's found in Jesus Christ. And here's what we tend to do. We tend to see the visible rather than the invisible. And Paul says, look, if you're going to get this hope thing and live a life filled with hope, you've got to learn to see the invisible. Focus on seeing the invisible. The difference back in the discussion between Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 was this. It was perspective. And can I tell you, it wasn't perspective of circumstances. It was their perspective of God. That's the game changer. It wasn't just how they were seeing their circumstances. It was their view of God. And today, when we feel hopeless, do you know what we need to do? We don't necessarily need to get a change of circumstances. We need to get a change of our perspective and how we see God. We need to start seeing God as a bigger God. We need to start seeing God as a stronger God. We need to start seeing God for all that he is and all that he can do. Because Joshua and Caleb didn't limit God, but the other 10 did. And sometimes in our life, we do the same. We do this. We focus on our circumstances, and here's what happens. It magnifies their power. You see, focusing on circumstances magnifies their power. What power? The power that was in the circumstances. The power that's in the people involved. What happened with Joshua and Caleb as they were able to see God, but the others could only see the giants. They could only see the descendants. They could only begin to go ahead and think about what the others must have thought about them. There's no record of the enemy looking at the spies and going, wow, you guys are grasshoppers. But they come back and they say, look, this is how we seen them. We were able to see them as giants and we feel like grasshoppers. And then they go ahead and say, and they even said, we're grasshoppers. You ever notice that sometimes when we begin to go ahead and focus on the circumstances, that we make the circumstances much bigger than what they are? We exaggerate the circumstances. We magnify the circumstances. And all of a sudden the circumstances are something to be afraid of because we've made them that way. You know what Paul said about his circumstances? He said, first of all, compared to what we deserve, they're light. Light afflictions. He calls them light afflictions because compared to what we deserve, compared to hell, they're light afflictions. Compared to what real suffering is, they're light afflictions. He said, I'm not going to exaggerate my circumstances. I'm not going to go ahead and build all of them up. He says, no, Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to focus on his grace. I'm going to focus on the hope that is real, and I'm going to let that rise up in me. Do you know what magnifies the power of our circumstances? It's a three-letter word called sin. Sin takes our eyes off of God. It takes our eyes off of the one who's made the promise to be there with us, to walk through it with us, the one who's made the promise to go ahead and save us, the one who has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, sin causes you and I to go ahead and take our eyes off of Christ, to take our eyes off of God and to begin to go ahead and get our eyes on the circumstances. You're not going to find one reference in all of the Bible where people begin to take their eyes off of God and it goes well. Peter walked on the water until he looked at his circumstances and not Jesus. David had a great life until he took his eyes off of God and started looking at the circumstances around him. And he said, wow, I'm king. I can go ahead and do what I want to. And he began to put his eyes on the temporary and he began to go ahead and live a life That wasn't honoring to God. Why? Because he took his eyes off of God and he began to go ahead and look at the circumstances. I'm going to tell you this, circumstances, good or bad, when we begin to magnify them and we begin to see them rather than see God, you and I are taking ourselves down a path that does not turn out good. We look at focusing on circumstances magnifies power. Paul says, look, rather than magnifying the power of my circumstances, here's what I'm going to do. I want to magnify the power of Jesus. I want to magnify the power of who he is. He said, I'm not going to lose heart. He says, because these light afflictions are temporary. And they're working in me for something far greater than what I could ever imagine. He says, so we don't look at the things that are seen, the things that are visible. We look for the things which we cannot see. Sometimes we can't see the hand of God, and sometimes we can't even feel the hand of God. But Paul says, by faith, I know it's there, so I'm going to trust it, and that's what I am going to see. And he says, one day is going to be revealed what he was up to. You know, the Bible says this in 1 Peter 5:7, says the answer to seeing God rather than our circumstances and magnifying God rather than our circumstances is this, casting all our care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. You know what I've discovered? Most of the time, the circumstances of life really don't care that much about me. But God does. God does. And Peter says, look, you want a different perspective? Understand that you can come and you can cast the circumstances of life upon Jesus. You can come to the Father and give them to him because he cares for you. He says, let's give it a different perspective. Rather than carrying the weight, rather than trying to handle it ourselves, let's go ahead and cast that where it needs to be cast, at the feet of Jesus. Because while it may be greater than we are, it is not greater than he is. I don't know what you need a different perspective of today, but can I encourage you just to bring it to the feet of Jesus? Just to cast that care upon him, because he's going to take care of it. Paul says, this life is temporary. There's some discomfort along the way. But always remember, God is up to something. God is at work, even when we can't see it, even when it doesn't seem like it. He's working and he's moving. Here's the third thing that Paul said. He said, we can't control our circumstances, but we can control our attitude. He said, we can control our mindset. We can control what we're going to view. He says, a person of hope is not a person in a certain set of circumstances, but rather a person with a certain mindset. Think about that for just a minute. He never says a person of hope is someone in a certain set of circumstances. He says a person of hope is one who has a certain mindset. Some of us feel hopeless, and it's not because we're hopeless. It's because of our mindset. Some of us feel like life is beating up on us, and it's really not because life is beating up on us, because Paul says, look, it's a light affliction. It's temporary. It's only going to be for a moment. It's going to be done, and then it's going to be over. He says, when we get to the other side, it's going to be worth it. Because something is going to be revealed in us. Something is going to be worked on and built up and strengthened. Somebody says, John, I just can't do that. Viktor Frankl survivor of a concentration camp, one who lost everything, his family, his home, all of his freedoms, stood naked with others because he had been stripped of everything. And he said, remember this, the last of the human freedom is the ability to choose your mindset, and they cannot take that from you. Isn't it amazing that somebody that doesn't even profess to follow Jesus understands a great truth like that? In the midst of losing everything, in the midst of experiencing some things that we would consider serious affliction, he stands with absolutely nothing, the loss of family, no clothing, no place to go, and he's able to tell a group of people around him, look, they can't take our mindset. Today, maybe you just need a new mindset. Maybe you need a mindset that Jesus loves you, that he's up to something in your life and that he's got a plan. Maybe you need the mindset that you have sinned and that you do need a Savior and that he's got an eternal home in heaven waiting for you if you'll just receive it. Maybe you need the mindset that you're a Christ follower, but as we follow Christ, we're going to have some difficulty, but in spite of the difficulty, he's still in control and he's still in charge and he's going to carry you through. Maybe you need the mindset today that you don't necessarily need a change of circumstances. Maybe you need a mindset that you need to start seeing the invisible and trusting God. Maybe you need to quit focusing on your circumstances and magnifying their power. Maybe you need to go ahead and realize that while you can't control your circumstances, you can control your mindset. Peter said, look, no matter what's going on, we can be alert. We can keep our eyes on Jesus. No matter what's going on, we can be alert and we can go ahead and offer up a sacrifice of praise. And no matter what's going on and no matter where we're at, we can go ahead and have a different mindset, a mindset that's focused on Jesus, who he is, and what he's up to. And today, I want to ask you, if you've taken that mindset and you've invited Jesus into your life, I want to ask you if you've got a mindset where you're focused on him or you're focused on your circumstances. If you've got a mindset and a faith that you're holding on to hope because of who he is and what he's up to, because your circumstances will change, but Jesus never will. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing a verse, an invitation hymn. And today, maybe you've never had that relationship with Jesus, but you'd like to know more about Jesus and who he is. Maybe today you would say, John, I know I got some things that I need to talk with him about. I've got some circumstances that I really wish would change, but I need to pray for God's strength to help me to hold on. To help me to see and believe that he's up to something, that he's working. Maybe you're here, you got something else in your heart, in your mind. You want to come and pray about that. Whatever it might be, as we stand together and sing, if you would like to know Christ, I would invite you to leave your place. If you want to come and pray about something else, I would invite you to come and do that. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I ask you during this time, Lord, there's many things going on in many lives. So, Lord, I ask you, if there's one here that needs to know you as Savior, that today would be the day. Lord, if there's one here that needs hope. Just a change of perspective in their life. Father, I would ask you that you would help them. For it's in Christ's name.